America's running, but I don't know if we're, a lot of us are not running the right way. I real concerned about that. I believe June 10th, is that the way they say that? I believe it's going to overtake 4th of July. I believe it's already challenging. And there's going to be a time when people don't even know what the Declaration of Independence is all about. I've got constitutions if you want one. If I've done out of them, I'll get more. But I got a couple that I carry in my briefcase and try to look at them from time to time. I feel sorry for children that are growing up that don't even have a clue of how this country was founded and how God intervened. And I got there second-handed, but I came across some information several years ago that during the revolution, during the war with England, we gained our independence, that there was a time when we didn't have a lot of money to pay for soldiers and things like that, and the Jews bailed us out. And they're the most hated people on the face of the earth. And anybody that associates themselves with Jewish people is going to be hated too. And I want you to understand, I'm not ashamed to say I love the Jews and the nation of Israel. And after the rapture, God's going to start dealing with the age of grace. It's going to be over with. And God's going to turn his attention back to the Jewish nation. And that nation's going to be born in a day. And they're going to look at Jesus and say, where did you get these wounds in your hand? He's going to say, in the house of my friends. And they're going to come to know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will fill them all at one time. I don't understand all that, but that's what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, I don't understand a lot of what the Bible says. But I just pray that we can celebrate 250 years and always emphasize the 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence and the victory that we had over the greatest, from what I've read and I've just read recently. You know, lie again, you can read anything, but the greatest army, the greatest navy in the world is who we fought against, and we won. I mean, our boys learned fight from Indians. They'd hide behind trees, and those British, I always thought they was a little bit touched. They just marched in order out there with red coats on like targets. But a lot of people are in America's running, but they're running the wrong way. You don't want to run, if you're in a race, you don't want to run reverse. If it's running this way, you don't want to be running this way. Or if you're traveling and trying to reach a destiny, you don't want to be going back. You don't want to be going the wrong way. And I just believe, you know, you look at it. God help us. May God have a mercy on the United States of America. And I pray every day that God will have mercy on America and peace to Jerusalem and to our Jewish friends. Amen. Amen to that. Amen. There are a lot of other I can say there, but you got your eye, you got your attention on running the race. Now I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I just want to read a few verses and kick off a message today that may wind up being, I don't know, whatever the Lord wants, but there's enough material here for two or three Sundays at least. And I don't want to try to exhaust it all on you today. I want you to listen very carefully. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run on, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, disciplined for the mastery." Hey, this World Cup thing's going on. I don't understand a lot about that. So running for the mastery. I'm just going to pause a minute and interject this, that, and Lord, help us today. Help me to say just exactly what needs to be said. And And Lord, just bless the Word of God with great power in Jesus' name. Amen. This thing up at, up somewhere where we were from, when we came from, Madison Square Garden or something, there's a ball game going on somewhere around there, some kind of ball game. Do you know to get front rows? Long thing is, I could, somebody be paying $500,000 to sit and listen to somebody talk that's really a team scholarship and earn degrees and master's on whatever subject he studied. They're gonna never do that. They call them nerds. I think they call this guy. The emphasis is on the wrong thing. I mean, you might as well admit it. Nothing wrong with the ball game, but when it becomes a god, and when it becomes this kind of money, why would you spend $500,000? And I know I got that figure right. That's $500,000. Watch a kind of ball game. I think it's basketball. I don't know. You see how many people. Every man that striveth for the master is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain. Listen. He knows where he's going. He's not lost on the course. He's maintaining consistency and direction. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. You know what that means? That's a shadow boxer. Boxers would get against the wall with a light on them, and they'd box a shadow to try to discipline themselves to be a good boxer. But what we're talking about is a race. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection. You know, I think somewhere else he said, I buffet my body with discipline. That means to give yourself a black eye. You know anybody in the right mind said to give themselves a black eye on this trip? You got to beat down that flesh. Stop down for your day. The flesh will take over. Take over if you let it. Lest that by any means, when I should be preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Castaway, you're useless, no good, set on the shelf. Never. I've thought about that all my Christian life. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be ununiform. Right. All you out there. I'm just going to introduce this subject today. And he said this. He said in verse number 24, know ye not that they which run in the race, that you may obtain. Now, just try to go by memories.
This cat went on the ferry.
So, fine restaurant. The initials is WH. We might know what it was. Waffle. So I was cheering on a little bit there. I told him I've been trying to get her to marry me to say yes. You know, she's my girlfriend, and she's 40 whatever years it is. And I'm cheering on the way that is he always this future one? in the physical race, like that you may have, he said, one wins the prize. He said, they strive for the mastery. And they're just one person that wins. One. Only four again. But one received the prize. That's one of the things. One. That means you can't translate that from the physical race, spiritual race. In the spiritual race, everybody can. Everybody. You can win, I can win. And it's a race. It's a running and running uphill all the one. Every once in a while, they get a downhill. But it's fun, isn't it? Flat service is the best way. But the thing about the Christian life is everybody can win. Here it is. At the end, what will be said of you? And don't think because you're young, your end may not be near. At the end, what will be said of you? That is, what will be your final testimony? It does not matter what a person has done, accomplished, etc., in the course of his days on earth. How he finishes is what's important. What or how he is living, what he's doing, where he is how people will remember in the conversation. What about old so-and-so? What, the question, what about old so-and-so? He'll ride all his life, but at the end, he blew it. He messed up. He went astray. I used this something that's over to the next church last week. And I've said this before about a man that I know. I maybe repeat some of this, but you need to hear it anyway. The man that I saw, he worked at the fire company. And I don't know if you remember, but they came up and blasted. You have to do a lot of blasting. You have to lock these out. They blasted the telephone pole in the house. But he worked at the fire company. And then he worked Santa Rock High School in football. He but wanted my youngest boys one for the group. Every time I saw that thing, see, there's a place, every time he had the Cap County, I'd see him. The very first thing you remember, you know what he would ask me? The very first thing he would ask me, preacher, are you still preaching? Yes, are you still preaching? Daniel, are you that preacher class you have? People on top of it. I've said this before. If it was only for that man, I fear today, I'd say, well, I preacher, are you still preaching? I'd say, no. But it wasn't just for that only. It was for my granddad. Went in a wheelchair, wasn't sick, wasn't senile, he did a good job, killed the younger man, And my friend went up to him and said, "Why don't you quit passing?" You know what he said? He's up in church for me. God bless you. What? Apply that to a family and a husband. It's up in church. But always, you know, the Lord, I never knew when I let's go. This ain't about our trip, but thank y'all for it. Hey, it's $600 for the jet. Get up there and back. I just knew I had to go. I hadn't planned to say, take a Sabbath. It all ain't about me. I'm using this testimony for you to think about yourself. Not about Rocky Butt. I preached 5 times while I was back. Don't do that last week. So I got away. We don't give up preaching. You, are you friends? Listen, a preacher don't ever want to give away. And a pastor calm. It's a definite calling. The Bible says that gives callings of God are without repentance. Repentance means to turn around. That means to make a new turn. If you send callings of God without repentance, God calls a pastor, he's pastor for life. That don't mean that he don't do like Paul, don't need him to do the work of an evangelist. Paul, a pastor and the pastor doing the work of an evangelist, that's what we've all done. Ask her if ever, 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 I'm going to get them. Did you look for that? I'll say that. You say you won't say that. Tell the preacher, get there. Come to this. But that's what God has me still to push down. I'm going to say exactly what I'm doing. I've got a ton of material up here. Ready. Get it? What's it? That's what it's like. It's about 40. 36. I need about 24. I need about 400. I need. What does he need it for? I'm going to tell you what he needs it for. He said, they quit racing. They quit running. I wouldn't be nowhere else. And not that I'm a good preacher, good pastor, I wouldn't be nowhere else on the face of the earth than right and be happy. But he said, hey, them other churches need it. You know what? We're surrounded by winners. And Hebrews chapter 11 is the showcase of the faithful. You read chapter 11. And all through chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about from Abel saith and on, that the blood speaks from the ground. You know that. Noah, Abraham, all of them. Some of them lived in caves. Wild animals would kill them. And some of them were sawed in two and persecuted. But you know what they kept doing? They kept running the race. They run. And now their run is over with. They got the prize. They didn't stop. You know what you can do with your Christian life? You can haphazardly live your Christian life and not take it serious. And I want you to understand, there's a lot of people going to churches today that are not serious Christians. They've never sweated it out for God. They don't plan on it. They don't cause no controversy. They don't talk to nobody about the Lord. They just casually come in and out every Sunday and have no effect on the world. Later on, we'll get into Paul's testimony right before he got his head cut off in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is not heaven. For a believer that's really wanting to serve God, it can be hell on earth. That's happy time, ain't it? You know what? Several years ago, we were looking for a building for our church in Collinsville. And there was a building there, it was a doctor's office, and he moved out. We rented, before the doctor came, we rented a Mason Lodge. The Mason Lodge was upstairs, and I always felt creepy about that. But down on the bottom was a doctor's office that was no longer used, and we used that, they rented that to us. They rented that building to us. And that little church, my friend, that little handful of Mexicans, and sometimes there's as many there as there is here today, or almost. But they're still running. And I've seen them go through terrible things. And they're still running. Known them. I've known them for 30 years. And they're still running. Well, we'll talk about running to win. Running to win. We're going to hopefully talk about this for the next, you know, I'll say something else right here. Starting is one thing, but finishing is another. Levi and I were, there's some land across the road from us that we're away down in the woods. We're trying to get electric fence around a hillside there. That's when I started having hill problems. And I'd have to get down like this, look at this. It's the time when I couldn't do that. And Levi would have to help me up. And I couldn't finish that fence. And I guess some of the saddest words I've ever heard from one of my sons is, well, first of all, he said, Daddy, you need to go to a doctor. I'm saying just exactly what God wants me to say this week. You can count on it. And I did go to the doctor. I had a double hip replacement over a period of 5 years in between. One of the saddest things that I believe I've ever heard said to me is Levi said, Daddy, what we started, we need to finish. There was no way in the world that I could finish that fence. There was no way. And I think about that pretty often. That's grown up. It was crazy thought to begin with one strand of electricity around that land. They're trying to keep some cows in, which is beyond that wire. It's the wild blue yonder. So, we meant it. God meant it for good, okay? But it hurt for my son to say, Daddy, we need to finish what we started. I don't know when you started. 1971, right down here. There's been pains. I'm not talking about physical pains. There's been heart pains. Oh, mental pains. We got to keep going. Compare yourself to Apostle Paul, what he went through. Compare yourself to him. I'm amazed at some of you. You'll be in the hospital one week, one day, and then the church the next. It's a wonder to me. Wonder people, wonder men, wonder women. There ain't no vacations in the Christian life. There ain't no vacations. When you're on vacation, we were headed up to one of our places where our children were camped in their military service, was headed up through the country there. Sunday afternoon, I don't know if you remember camping, but I said, There's a church somewhere. We didn't tell GPS. I don't even know if we had a cell phone then. I just pulled off the exit. I said, hey, is there an independent Baptist church? They said, there's one right down the road. Can't take a vacation. Hey, running to win. I'm preaching the end of these messages at the beginning. If you, we'll cover this again later. Is everybody listening to me? I can outrun Katie. I cut out after her other day. Monday, you remember that me running after you? He said, she didn't want me to catch her. Even though I couldn't catch her, she just said, it's quite scared me, though. Anybody watch Kentucky Derby? There's a woman that said she wanted to watch the sport again. And so she cooked a lot of stuff, got a lot of what they get wings. She's going to sit down and watch the Derby. But is this over? There's this horse I just heard about in a race recently. I think his name was Great White. And he didn't like to run on artificial track. He wanted to run on dirt. That's what his favorite thing is. They train. Then they could see him leading them horses down the track. What Great White did before he got the track, he just laid down, fell down, legs. Because he didn't like artificial track. Hey, I don't care what track you're on, you better learn to like it, amen. We got to win. We got to stand before Jesus one day. See, enough. Oh, it's just laid down. What are you going to do? Kicking, give him a shock. He wouldn't do that. Whatever your excuse is what it is. It's an excuse. Jack Hudson was a famous preacher that I heard many times when I was in Bible school up at Highland Park. Jack Hudson lived in somewhere in the Carolinas. It's a big race track up there. Is it in South Carolina or North Carolina? It's a big race track. I've been by it. The Lewis Lawson, the pastor there in Waverly, Virginia. I preached there. Lewis said his son-in-law got it a race. He could go to that. It's a good go way in the world. Run off one and try. It's going to change up like that. I'm thinking, it's time. Maybe it's up. He was in a race. He wasn't in no race. Yeah.
Hey. For years, every time he got up to pray, one of his favorite sayings, we ain't catching much of Jesus. Yeah, Hudson said that would be kicked up, get him a race car. Didn't swallow the peeps. He died a while back. He served in this community. He became the chaplain down at Green Valley. And I was out there. They built a race car. Him and his boy, his Robert. Okay, his boy's name. I was out there in his garage one day, and he lived down at Bobbitt's place, and bought that place. Girl, Bobbitt. He just showed me that car, and I said, well, there's the gas tank. He said, that's the fuel center. What? Electric car. Over in Georgia, when I sold insurance over there in Georgia, people would give 3 or 4 acres and build a nice house, put a fence around it. They'd say, I got a horse farm. They would say, horse. Well, people, horse. I said, yeah, come on out. We got a horse farm. Yeah, we're here. I got out there. I don't see no farm. So Jack, he said they'd buy the car, they'd get a car, build a car, put a fuel cell in it and a motor, get it all ready, and pay the entrance fee and qualify and get in the race. Not to win, but for the fanfare. I'm in the race. I don't care about winning. I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at a preacher that wants to win. And I want to run to the end. And that's my challenge to you today. There's going to come a time when you might get your feathers ruffled. Unruffled. There's going to come a time when you test the cat and good night. Why did I think about this? My daughter-in-law, Ava, is a wonderful person. Works for the VA. She's adopted. She's got 2 cats this big and about that big around. But if you put them in a bucket of water, pull them up, they get that down. And they pay people to come in and clean their place. They come for it. I don't know how, but they was cat hair in the air. My blue black suit, it wasn't nowhere near the cats. And when I got to put it on at one of them churches, I put the coat on it, it was flying the cat. You know what that is? Yeah. I go for fellowship is one. Ray Young, Elijah, he was in the law of business. Some of the men that he knew from the law of business, they didn't go to church, worked 7 days a week. They were repairing the food. If you're not a son, that equipment, my landslide.
Rubbing that cat, and hair standing up, right? So what do? God don't move. But the cat needs to change its position. Then the hair will be smooth. It's God move. If I heard, look off of me. Need to turn the record. Go to a Baptist church and any Pentecostal church, any of these five dogs, your feelings are going to get hurt. Your old stuff. Brother Brown said, I mean, Brother Brown, this is a pastor here, you know. Then get back. I'm going to look at this. Right? You don't mean the impediments, but it simply means it. And then it come a time to where he couldn't get up. You know, the two racers stopped, two runners, and they got up under his shoulders. And they run the race together. And they all lost in physical eyes, but they won in God's eyes. I'm going to tell you, if somebody falls, it's not your job to condemn them. If any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, go in the spirit of meekness and deliver that person and help him get back on his feet and run the race and win the race. Let's stand. What about it? You need to pray. We have an invitation. Father, have your way in every heart and life. I want to thank you for this place and these people. And I pray that Welcome Baptist Church will continue to run for the Lord Jesus and win the race. Help each one. Save those that may be lost. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can come and pray if you need to.